So today we're going to learn about Passover in the desert. Arguably, the most important part of Pesach is the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach, of course, is an offering. And offerings are brought in the Beis HaMikdash. And specifically, offerings are brought in Eretz Yisrael. Because that's where Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be. When the Jewish people were in the desert, there was only one Pesach offering that was brought in 40 years. And this was nothing to be proud of. So much so that the Torah records it kind of out of order. It's like tucked into the folds of Parshas Baal Eischa. And the reason that we don't talk about it in a very, very public fashion, like trumpeting out here, here was how we celebrated Pesach in the desert, was because this is the only Korban Pesach that the Jewish people brought subsequent to the Exodus until they came to Eretz Yisrael. It means for 40 years afterwards, there was no Korban Pesach. The next big event was when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, and there was mass circumcision. Everybody got involved in the Korban Pesach all over again. So why is this any more shameful than the whole saga? I mean, the whole business of not being in Eretz Yisrael wasn't so nice. So the Rebbe once pointed out that here we have a story of a group of people who were not able to participate in the Korban Pesach, and they lodged a complaint. And as a result, Hashem gave a second mitzvah of Korban Pesach. And they had the opportunity. And here, a whole nation, Moshe said, okay, we're stuck in the desert. And nobody said anything about the Korban Pesach. And had they complained, had they demanded, the future would have been different. They would have brought a Korban Pesach, in as much as certain things were not the way it was supposed to be. At any rate, this is the story of the Korban Pesach in the desert. And we will pick up the narrative in chapter 9, verse 6, where the Torah gives us the details of the Jewish people bringing the Korban Pesach in the desert. And it says, "Vayidaber Moshe al bnei Yisrael la'aseis es ha'pasach." In verse 4 it says, Moses speaks to the Jewish people about bringing the Korban Pesach. And Moses gave them all the instructions, despite the fact that he had already taught them laws of the festival. He nevertheless reviewed with them prior to each and every Yom Tov. And so he told them all about this. And the Pasuk, the Torah says, in verse 5, "Vayachdas ha'pesach b'rishon." They did make the Korban Pesach in that first month, as was supposed to be, as was ordained. Abo Asur Yehim, the 14th day l'chodesh of that month, Bein Arba'im, in the afternoon, Bamidbar Sinai, yup, right there in the desert, it happened. Kechol Asher Tzivah Hashem es Moshe, they did exactly as they were told. So we were pretty good at listening to instructions, most of the time. However, initiative was not something that we excelled at. And that's what makes the next couple of verses so extraordinary. Because from verse 6 and onward, we hear a story of Vayihi Anoshim Asher Hoyu Tumeim B'Nefesh. So there were these people who were tummy, who were defiled, ritually impure, because of contact with a corpse. That's how the Torah refers to a dead body, Nefesh Adam. And these people could not be involved, could participate in the Korban Pesach. On that day, so they came before Moshe Rabbeinu, v'lifnei Aharon, and before his older brohter Aharon, who was Adam. V'yoyim hahu, on that day. There are many things about this verse that demand elucidation. So before we go to the details and explain this for the prism of Rashi, I want to point out that Vayihi Anoshim is Lashon Yachid. It's singular. It should have said Vayihiyu, because they were. Here it says, and he was. So why does it say Vayihi Lashon Yachid when we're talking about a group of people, a number of people? So the Paneach Raza says something very interesting. We have a principle, we have a rule, that a yachid is pushed aside when it comes to the Korban Pesach. But a rabbin, the plural, the public, is never pushed aside. That is to say, if there are some Jewish people who are tamei, so then they will not have an opportunity to make the Korban Pesach because they are betumah, they are ritually impure, and only when they will be rehabilitated and they'll have a ritual purity, an opportunity on Korban Pesach in the second month, they get to, so to speak, react the Passover offering. However, if the vast majority of the Jewish people would be in a state of ritual impurity, then the Korban Pesach Rishon would be brought in a state of Tumah. So this all of these halachas only apply when we have Yechidim, when we have individuals which means the minority, not the majority. If the majority, all bets are off, then the Korban Pesach is the only Korban that can be brought in a state of ritual impurity. Or Achayim says, this is to tell you that the reason of the ritual impurity was one reason. Now, why does the Rechaim have to say that? Because there are a number of different opinions in the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah. The Gemara tells us on page 25 that Rabbi Yosi HaGlili maintained that these people who are Tameim LeNefesh Adam were performing the mitzvah of Chesed Shel Emes. They were performing the greatest of kindnesses to the tzaddik whose name was Yosef. You'll remember that Yosef had ordained that when you leave Mitzrayim, take my bones, my coffin with you. Yosef was placed in a coffin, he was embalmed, and the last thing Moshe Rabbeinu did before leaving Mitzrayim was bring up that coffin. The Gemara says that that coffin had to be carried. It was a heavy coffin. And there's a group of people who had dedicated themselves to carrying Yosef. They were the people who now came forward and said, we are Tameim LeNefesh Adam. Conversely, what Rabbi Akiva says, that this is Mishael and El Tzafon from the Levite family. And they were relatives of Aaron HaKohen. And they became ritually defiled because of Nadav and Avihu. And because they had been involved in the burial of Nadav and Avihu, which had happened 14 days earlier, so now they came and said, hey, we're Tameim LeNefesh Adam. We're going to have the opportunity to participate. The Gemara lastly brings the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak, who says, Nitmu l'meis mitzvah. There was a meis mitzvah, and they became Tameh for this person needed to be buried. Ibn Ezra points out that it's statistically impossible that you should have a camp that's so big of 3 million people and there shouldn't be people dying on a daily basis. They had to have people dying. And why was it a mes mitzvah? So the Malbim and the Tzlach in their commentaries on Chumash and Gemara conversely suggest that these problems were covered. And that's why the mes mitzvah, that was actually an altruistic act of devotion that somebody didn't have the requirement, because really the obligation falls upon the relatives. The mishpacha, the family, has to be involved in burial. And that's why a Kohen is allowed to become defiled for closest of kin, because there's a mitzvah, a positive mitzvah, of coming in touch, being involved in the funeral of closest of kin, even if you're Kohen. We say the positive mitzvah of burying your loved one overrides even the prohibition of kahuna. So why didn't the relatives do this? This was an act of altruism, and that's what the Tzlach wants to say. This is because there was Gedim, these were converts, or maybe part of the Erev Rav that had died. Nobody else was part of the family, so to speak. To whom did it fall? To some lovely individual who said, somebody's got to do this. And that's why they're being praised for their altruism, and we say it was mes mitzvah. At any rate, the Erech Chaim says, sometimes we say, Eilu ve'eilu divir lekim chaim, maybe it could have been all of the above. Maybe it was people who were carrying Yosef. Maybe it was people who had El-Mishal, El-Tzofan. Maybe it was a mitzvah, which would be reasonable. It's reasonable that all these things would have been possible. However, the Rechaim maintains, no. Here, there was one reason. We're not sure what it was, but it was one, not multiple reasons. It was one group of people. The Tzrei Amor says that because it was Mishael and El-Tzofan, and because they were related, so they felt a kinship, a oneness with Aaron's children. It was as if their own family, as if it happened to themselves. And that's why it says Vayihi. And furthermore, it's also Lashon Tsar. We've mentioned this many times, Vayihi, like Vayihi Me'achashverosh is Lashon Tsar. And Lashon Tsar is because there's something which is profoundly, let's say, discomforting here. There's a sense of sadness or agony that accompanies the story, even though it's actually an incredible story of love for Hashem. And more importantly, it's a story of how when you really want something from God and you ask with sincerity, you get it. That's really the deeper message. That's the subtext there. And yet there's a vayihi, because what sets all in motion is the tragic events, the loss of Moshe, of Aaron's children. Okay, at any rate, whoever these people may be, this sets the stage for you. You understand who they were. V'layachlu lasas haPesach. They couldn't make the Pesach b'yemo, who couldn't do it that day. So they came before Moshe and before Aaron. Here, an obvious question comes to the fore. They came before Moshe and they came before Aaron. Why did they come before Moshe? Because he's going to tell them what to do. Moshe Rabbeinu he's the one who receives the Torah. He brings them the Torah. So they came before Moshe. And then maybe Moshe didn't have an answer. So what'd they do?
Go ask Aaron.
Yeah, but how would Aaron know if Moshe didn't know? That actually doesn't make any sense. So why did they go?
I mean, they're like a partnership, such a like.
Moshe and Aaron are a partnership in leading the Jewish people. Moshe and Aaron are not a partnership in getting the Torah. Moshe kibbol Torah Mesinai, not Moshe the Aaron kibbol Torah Mesinai. There was a single voice, one person. Moshe got the Torah from Sinai. Moshe taught the Torah to Aaron. Aaron got to listen in to the conversation 11 times of many, many hundreds of conversations. But that was it. Moshe didn't know, how would Aaron know? So that's an obvious question. And that's a question that has to be addressed. And Rashi does address it. He doesn't address the business of Ayihi. Rashi doesn't necessarily feel required to explain to you the grammar of plural or public sometimes. Sometimes that's the nature. If that could be the nature of the grammar, so be it. But this just doesn't make any sense. So this Rashi addresses, and he says, it must have happened kisheshneim yoshvim bebeis hamedrash, when the two were sitting together in the frame of Torah teaching. So they were sitting together. Bo, they came, v'sha'olum, they asked them. It was like Moshe and Aaron are sitting together. What did he say? Aaron, please, turn your face away. Don't listen to this. We don't want to talk to you. You would never know the answer to this. Oh, Moses, he might know the answer. That wouldn't be respectful. So they came, el Moshe, v'el Aaron. It was Moshe and Aaron. They respectfully addressed Moshe and Aaron, because Moshe and Aaron were, in some way, equal in leadership. That's true. They were cherished before Hashem, equal in leadership. Moshe and Aaron had different roles to play, but coming before them, it's not possible, says Rashi, to say, first they went to Moshe. Moshe said, beats me, I don't know. So, maybe we should ask Aaron. That doesn't make any sense. Because in Moshe Lehayudea, if Moshe wouldn't know, Aaron minayin le, we would Aaron know from. Like the Gemara says, Rebbe Leshona, Chia minayin. Rebbe Chia said, if Rebbe didn't teach this in the Mishnah, how do you think Chia would know? So Chia doesn't know if Rebbe didn't teach it. And Hasidim used to say on this, this has nothing to do with the class, but he used to say, Rebbe, Leishana, you don't go to the Rebbe a whole year? Chia minayin, how could you live? Anyway, but that's the point there is, Moshe Rabbeinu can only know because Aaron can only know if Moshe Rabbeinu taught.
Maybe because he forgot the halacha when it came to eating after the
Very good, Nathan. The kepala is working. You say maybe because he forgot the halacha. Okay, so here's the thing you have to know. Whenever Moshe Rabbeinu seems to have a senior moment, it's always linked to anger. When Moshe Rabbeinu expresses anger, then there's a senior moment. And that's a punishment. As the expression goes in the Gemara, bo leklal kas, bo leklal tos. He came to a state of anger, he came into a state of disorientation. And that's when mistakes happen. And in general, anger is a bad thing. Be very careful when it comes to anger. They say that Tzemach Tzedek was once, or a number of times, upset about certain things, and he began to say, so I saw written, to snap his fingers, he says, bring me a Shulchan Aruch, bring me a Shulchan Aruch. Why? Because it says, kol akoyas, whoever becomes angry, kilo eva deve dezara. It's as if you're worshiping an idol. I have to look at Shulchan Aruch and the laws of idolatry to see if I'm allowed to be angry or upset about something. If you don't get angry about anything, it means you're indifferent, you don't care. You should be angry when you hear, for example, that Gazan terrorists are clamoring to come across the border, and Nachman al-San cut out the hearts of innocent Jews, and the Israeli defense force shoots them in defense of the Jewish people, in defense of normalcy, and the media condemns Israel. If that doesn't make you angry, something's wrong with you. That's not okay. That's not called, oh, you're an idolater, you got angry about that. You should be angry. So certain things, anger is appropriate. Anger can never control us, but anger can be appropriate. And for Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu was such a sensitive soul that even the slightest tinge of anger could have caused, you know, a lack of clarity or discombobulation, or Moshe didn't have the full, tightly honed instinct of halachic knowledge that Moshe Rabbeinu should always have had. At any rate, what did the people say? Vayomru ha'anashim ha'ema, these very people. This is the people we just spoke about. I share with you the Gemara Masechet Sukkah. These people said, anachnu tmeim l'nefesh adam, we are ritually impure. Fact. Lama nigara, why should we be excluded? Why should we be left behind? Lebilti hikriv es karban Hashem. Why should we not have an opportunity to bring the karban Hashem b'moy adoy in its appropriate time, b'soich bnei Yisrael, amidst the rest of the Jewish people? So what is this taina? What are they saying? Says Rashi, lo mani gora, why should we be excluded? These people that were tveil in nefesh adam, the Gemara says they were tvula yoim. They actually had gone to the mikveh. They had achieved all the purity. And they were ready. Already. They actually were almost there. However, they wouldn't become ritually pure until night fell. Because the halacha is that a tevul yom, somebody went to the mikvah, has gone through the process of purification, but the sky has not yet cleared of light. which is called Ha'arev Shemesh, the sun setting, and then the sky being cleared or purified of light so that it becomes crystal, a see-through again, where you can see the outer space and the stars. Up until that point, you don't become ritually pure. So it says, Amar Lahem, Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, Ein Kodoshim Kreven Betumah. You can't bring a korban on somebody's behalf, which is how the korban Pesach functions, for somebody's in a state of ritual purity. Being in a state of ritual impurity seals you off from the relationship, the connection, the bond with the korban being brought on your behalf. Amar Lahem, they said to him, okay, fine. But we didn't say we should do this. Yizorek Hadom Aleinu, let the blood be dashed on his back for us. For us, and it can be done by koyanim who are toyrim, by koyanim who are going to be ritually pure, just like the rest of Israel. Everybody doesn't dash their own blood. Everybody doesn't come to the Beis Hamikdash and do their own thing. There's somebody representing them. So, okay, I understand we're precluded, but the fact that we're ritually impure and precluded doesn't make a difference, seemingly, because everybody else is precluded from being there, and the koyanim represent them on their behalf. So the Moshe Rabbeinu said, but you're not going to be able to eat. So they said, no, the yachal abasol tayrim. Even if we couldn't eat, let somebody eat on our behalf. At least we should be part of the Korban Pesach. They weren't looking for a piece of meat. They said, at least we should be enriched that we should know we were part of this. When Moshe Rabbeinu heard these words, they weren't looking for a piece of meat. They weren't asking for any kind of personal celebration. They just wanted to be included in the spiritual holy energy of a Korban being brought. That was extraordinary. Amar Lahem, he said to them, imdu ve'eshmo, Stand right here. Let me see what Hashem is going to say. And this is Kitalmud Hamuftich L'Shmoyim Ipnei Rabbi. This is like a pupil who's absolutely certain that if he has a question, his teacher is going to enlighten him. And the Rashi comments here, quoting our sages, Ashrei Yilud Isha Shekach Muftich. Fortunate is a mortal, a human being born of a mother of flesh and blood. We don't have any immaculate conceptions. Okay, there's no. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest human being? Yes, he is a human being, born of a mother of flesh and blood. A human, a mortal. And yet, this mortal is Shekach Muftach, he's so certain. Shekozman Shehoya Reitze, whenever he would want, Hayu Medaber Imashchina, he could converse and communicate with the presence of God. There is nobody else in history that had this ability. The prophets would seek and yearn, crave and desire prophecy, do things to bring prophecy upon them, like to be in a state of joy and to have music playing and so on and so forth, as we have described in Torah literature. But anybody who could be certain, no problem. Wait right here. God will tell me. In history, there's nobody like that. Now, in this case, if Moshe is so great, why did it take the people coming and asking? Why didn't this get given along with the rest of the Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu directly? And Rashi comments continuing this. He says, "Ru'uya hoisa parsha zuli yomer ade Meisha." This parsha, this Torah portion, should have been written through Meisha, kishar kol ha'Torah kul, like the rest of the Torah. So why wasn't it? Ela shazachu elu. These people merited shati omer al yadeim, that this mitzvah should be given by virtue of their hands, so to speak, euphemistically, through their efforts, through their request. And this is shemegaglu nschus al yadei zaka, because you have a principle which is invoked multiple times in the literature of the Medrash and the Sefer and Sifri, that a schus of merit, Hashem will arrange to happen through one who is predestined or preordained for merits to come through them. They were meritorious because of their desire. They wanted so badly to be part of Hashem's korban that made them meritorious, and therefore they were deserving that this merit should come through them. So we see that sincere desire to be close to Hashem is a tremendous merit. It's something that actually brings about an extraordinary profusion. It brings about godly revelation, a new mitzvah. A mitzvah was always ordained to be, but nonetheless, Hashem made it happen through them. The Rebbe once talked about the idea of us demanding Mashiach. And there are those people who foolishly think that it's not our job to ask for Mashiach. God brings Mashiach when He wants to bring Mashiach. So besides the fact that it's simply a ridiculous thing to say, as an observant Jew, if you daven three times a day and you say Berachat HaMazon, and you say all the prayers, you ask for Mashiach more than 70 times a day. So unless you're actually being brain dead during all the prayers, and you never think about one word you're saying, you never just say the words, don't think about it, Chas v'Shalom, so then, like, how could you say you shouldn't ask for Mashiach? Why do you ask for Mashiach every single day, so many times a day? But besides this, the Rebbe said, what do you see from this story? You see that people who demanded with sincerity got an answer. They got responded to. And that's the story of the Korban Pesach. There's one little question that we haven't answered yet at all. When did they come with this complaint? When did they lodge this, or make this demand? They made this demand, it says, Bayeimahu. It says on that day, right? On Erev Pesach. like the Gemara in Sukkah, as per the Ritva's commentary, he says it was Samoch L'Erev. They came literally, like the day was almost over, and they said, hey, Amani Gara. It's like, what happened to us? So the Rebbe asks an amazingly simple question. And the amazingly simple question is, you could take a look inside, you can follow along at Simon Yud Ches on page Kuf Mem Gimel. The amazingly simple question is, why did they turn to Moshe and Aaron and make this demand? When they come in the last minute. The Torah says, on that day. And like we said, the Ritva Tainas, that it was mamish at the end of the day. It was as the sun is setting. Why did they come earlier? After all, this didn't happen suddenly. We just heard they were tevula yoyim, according to Rashi. Rashi follows the opinion that they knew about this, and they had gone through the process of purification, and they were at the precipice. They already had all of the hazah, the sprinkling of the paraduma, and they had the mikveh. Everything was in place. What were they waiting for? Harav Shemesh. But by the time this Harav Shemesh, by the time the sky clears of light, can't bring the carbon pesach. So why did they wait? Why didn't they wake up maybe a few days earlier? Said Moshe Rabbeinu, we understand that we're not going to be participating. You know, we're going to be on our last day of this process. You think we could participate, maybe? I mean, they almost came in a situation where it was impossible to fix. That sounds ridiculous. If they were sincere, why didn't they come earlier when something could have been done about it? If they wake up, nothing could be done anymore. I was like, oh yeah, by the way, we're really upset about this. Well, if you're really upset, why'd you come to me a day ago? A week ago? So the Rebbe says an amazing thing. Me'achar shaha anoshim elu nitmu b'shasha osku b'mitzvah. Because these people were ritually impure, because they had done a mitzvah, like the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak, that's actually the words we use because they were involved with the kavura, with the burial of a mitzvah, or even if we follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion, they were burying Mishal Nadav and Aviyu. There was an actual mitzvah they were doing. And if you follow the opinion of Rabbi Shagril, they carry the coffin of Yosef. Certainly a supreme mitzvah. So the Rebbe says, Ha'oisek b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. The very same Gemara tells us, one who is involved in a mitzvah is exempt from all other mitzvahs. So if you're doing a mitzvah, and because of doing one mitzvah, you proscribe from doing other mitzvahs, should you feel bad? Why? Ha'oisek b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. You're doing a mitzvah, you're exempt from any other mitzvah. It's very simple. You're doing a mitzvah exempt from mitzvahs. So the Rebbe says, "Me'achas shehu oisik b'mitzvah." Since they were doing a mitzvah, nechshav hu ki'ilu kiyum gamas a mitzvah nisefes. If there was a mitzvah that you were supposed to be doing, but you couldn't, why? Because you were doing another mitzvah. So if I didn't do a mitzvah because I was doing another mitzvah, it's considered as if I did that mitzvah. I didn't lose anything. V'lochein, therefore, koloid ha'anoshim elu b'matzav, as long as these people are in a situation, shakrov as korban pesach nimno mehem b'shel isukam b'mitzvah, that the bringing of a korban pesach was out of bounds, off limits. Why? Because they were doing a mitzvah. Lo yitrida isim uvdezu, didn't bother them. They said, why should it bother us? We didn't do anything wrong. He said, but why aren't you doing a mitzvah? Why? Because we're doing another mitzvah. However, it was only here, about, up until this point, it was Hadavar Nechshav Lehem. It seemed, it felt to them correctly. Moving the Ruchni in a spiritual sense, Ki'ilu Hikrivu Korban Pesach. As if they brought a Korban Pesach. Ach, but, Kishagia Yoyma Achrein, when it came to the seventh, the last day, Hashvi Shalem, it's the last day of ritual impurity. Ubi Yoydom, and now with them being mindful, Sha'oid Ba'oise Erev, this very evening, when everybody will celebrate the Korban Pesach, we're not going to be there. Asida lehistayim hagbala, the limitations will be lifted, and these are the limitations. I mean, nas mehem, which prevented them from ishtatfos b'korban pesach, from participating in the korban pesach. They say we didn't have the participatory privilege of being part of the rest of the Jewish people and bringing a korban pesach, and really and truly, we should have. And they felt they weren't oisik b'mitzvah anymore. The mitzvah they had done is already closed. They're done. It's finished. They already had the hazoya, and by tonight, they'll say b'yachas l'matzavei ha'asidizeh in a few hours, in an hour, soon, when the sun sets, we're not going to be protected, so to speak, by the mitzvah that we were involved in. That's going to be a thing of the past. And it'll be a matzav that they won't any will no longer be in the frame of oisik b'mitzvah. And therefore, they'll feel left out. When do they feel left out? When they actually don't have another mitzvah that's preventing them from participating. V'lachein, v'dafka b'yoyim zeh. It was only on this day. Yom HaKravas HaPesach. The day the Korban Pesach was actually be brought. Shehoyu Yom HaAchron. Like Rashi said, it was the last day. It was the seventh day. Here at this point, where they felt they no longer were involved in a mitzvah, Ponu, they came in the Taina of Lama Nigara. And this really tells you that the complaint lodged was a visceral, emotional, and sincere expression. It was real deal. It wasn't choreographed. So, you know, look at days ahead. We're going to be in a situation. We will be proscribed. So what do you mean? It was something that came to them now. Up until this point, they didn't even think about it. They were engaged and immersed in the privilege of doing a mitzvah. How are you doing a mitzvah? All they thought about was the mitzvah they were doing. They weren't bothered by losing out on anything else because they were doing a mitzvah, an incredible thing. But now that this is dissipating, it's over, and they're just like everybody else now. And everybody else is having the privilege of participation, except for them. That's when it hit them. So when it hit them, when they realized, they overcome this realization, we're suddenly now, we don't have a mitzvah proscribing us. Oh, they came and said, Lomini Gora. Then why should we be indeed left out? And because of that emotion, it's not so calculating, it's more emotion, because they felt the loss of Korban Pesach, and because they wanted so badly to participate, Hashem indeed responds to them, and they're called Zakoyin, they're called meritorious people, through whom it was appropriate that the mitzvah should be done through them. And so, this is what the Rebbe said. He said, you ask Ad Masai, people demand for Mashiach because I told them to demand Mashiach should come. The Rebbe said, that doesn't work. If you ask for Mashiach because the Rebbe told you to ask for Mashiach, that's not called saying Ad Masai. You have to ask for Mashiach because you want Mashiach. This is what the Rebbe tried to get us that we should become, even though we're ordinary people who are worried about the next lunch that we have to eat or whatever other physical material concern that's in front of us. The Rebbe said, nonetheless, we should be concerned with Gilui Hashchina. The fact that the Shekhinah is in Golos, that should bother us. And it will be an emotional, visceral, sincere, true cry, Ad Masai. Then indeed, just as Hashem responded to the Korban Pesach request, He'll surely respond to our request. And Mashiach will indeed come and will be back in the Beis HaMikdash, bringing all of the Korbanos and participating in the full gamut and the full range of the beauty, glory, and pageantry of Avodas Hashem, as it was always meant to be. May it be speedily and in our days. Amen.